Good morning again. We are in our second week of a series from the book of Philippians, and it's called Letters from Prison. Last week I talked about the fact that the author, Paul, was in prison when he wrote this letter that we now call a book. And last week we looked at the theology of suffering. We looked at what the Bible and what Paul in this book says about suffering. So just a quick review. Paul said we should expect struggles. Struggles are going to come in our lives. Those struggles can be used for a purpose, and there are many causes or many reasons to our struggles. So that is the 30-second synopsis of a 38-minute sermon from last week. So those who missed it, there it is. You're welcome. Saved you like 37 and a half minutes. This week, we're going to continue looking in Philippians. And we're going to talk about the therapy of suffering. How do we deal with these sufferings that come? And I want to encourage you to continue reading the book of Philippians, talking about it with your family in small groups. I encourage you to talk about it on social media. Use the hashtag letters from prison so that we can kind of all track this and we can all be on the same page for a few weeks and we can see what others are picking up as we read through this letter together. So today I'm going to talk about how do we deal with suffering. And it's just one way that we see in this letter, in this book of Philippians, and that is to keep our eyes on the goal. Whatever struggles you've brought in with you this morning or whatever struggles you've had in the past, Paul's encouragement and my encouragement this morning is to keep your eyes on the goal. When life's struggles come, we have to have a goal. We need a focus. And Jesus is our goal. Jesus is our focus. During tough times and good times, our focal point, the thing we're striving for, the thing that we want to be like, the person that we want to be like, is Jesus. And even if you don't buy into the whole church thing this morning, maybe you're here to appease a friend or a family member, or you're just kind of checking things out, and you're kind of unsure about the church thing, wherever you are in the process of that, Jesus is a good goal for all of humanity. Because Jesus is about love and grace and mercy and truth and hope. So really, no matter where you are, if you don't buy into the whole church thing or not, Jesus is still a good goal for all of us. And Paul, throughout Philippians, points the church to Jesus as the goal. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians, the book of Philippians. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the seat in front of you, or all the scriptures will be up here for you as well. So as you turn, I just want to let you know that there are some scriptures in there, some things from Philippians that I'm not going to read for you this morning. That it's just kind of an encouragement, some other scriptures that if this somehow the Spirit speaks to you through this, that you can go later this week and find more nuggets from Paul from the book of Philippians. So I'm going to start reading just a few of these that are listed in your outline. First, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. It was the last thing in this video that we watched right before I came up. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul says that if I'm alive, it's for Christ. My focus is Jesus. If I die, great. But if I'm alive, then my goal, my focal point is Christ. Then jump over to chapter 3. And this is really where we're going to spend most of our time today, Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 7. Philippians 3, 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul told the Philippians, Paul tells us through this book, through this letter, to focus on Jesus in all circumstances, in every aspect of life, good and bad, focus on Jesus who gives us strength. Would you pray with me? God, this morning I invite you into this place, into this room. I know you're here already through your Spirit, and I just pray, Spirit, to move among us. We come with all kinds of different things in our lives, different struggles and different pains, so I pray that you speak what needs to be heard to each of us. God, that you speak through this letter from Paul, written thousands of years ago, but that is so relevant for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. As most of you know, and I've said many times before, I hate running. I hate it. I hate running so much that I tweet and I put pictures about it on Instagram. Here's a picture from some training I'm doing. The left hand, you guys are already laughing. The left hand side is the 2 mile route that I took, and then you see just a sliver of my face. I don't know if you can see it, but there's a sweat droplet right here. It's right after my run. And this was on my Instagram, and said that I was working on Couch to 5K, and Claudia says, Troy, are you crying in this? And my response is, no, just sweating. It feels like tears each time I run, though. Every time I run, I feel like crying. I hate running. But my doctor has told me that I need to lose 20 pounds, and the best way for me to do that is to run off the calories that I like to eat. So I run, and I use this program called Couch to 5K, and what it is it's a 10-week program that helps you get off the couch to run a 5K, which is 3.1 miles. Now, in the past, I've run a couple of half marathons, and I started training with a guy back in the early 2000s, and he was like this really great runner. He had run several half marathons, and he kind of got me into it. And he said, if you just keep after it, Troy, you'll eventually fall in love with it. He's wrong. If anyone ever tells you that, they're lying to your face. Because I have never fallen in love with it. In fact, every second of every run, I hate. But I have some friends who help me, who encourage me. We ran some yesterday. I have Rob Ratliff and Sam Miller who kind of have kept encouraging me. And I finished my fourth week out of 10 for this Couch to 5K. And I'm working on trying to do it. And as I'm going, I don't know if you've ever run long distances, but as you go, eventually you hit a spot that's like, this is dumb, I'm going to quit. For me, it's about the 1 minute mark. Seriously. And so in order to kind of make it through that hurdle, I kind of look at things out in front of me. Okay, I'm just going to run to that mailbox. Okay, there's a tree up there, I'm going to try and get there. Okay, Rob's like 4 blocks in front of me. I'm going to try and catch Rob. Right? So I have all these small goals to try and reach my end goal of eventually running 3 miles at a time. Now, that's a silly goal, but it's a goal. And the goal happened because the doctor said, hey, you need to fix some things. So, all right. And we've all had goals. We all set up these things in our lives where, okay, I want to reach something big. For me, running 3 miles is big. It's tough. But maybe your goal is graduating high school or getting through college or saving up money to go on a vacation or for your new car. Maybe it's trying to lose 10 pounds. And as we set these goals up, as we have these things that we're focusing on, kind of the way it works is we set them up and then we have these little goals, these little checkpoints along the way to see how things are going. Well, the same thing is true with what I'm going to talk about this morning, and that's having Jesus as our goal. Having Jesus as our goal is this lofty, perfect, amazing goal. So we're going to talk about, first of all, why that's important, and then going to give you just some practical steps on how to do that. Whenever we have goals, we work hard at them. I'm trying to lose 20 pounds, and for 3 weeks, Is it 3 weeks or 2 weeks? We've been on a low carb 2 weeks. It feels like seven. Been on a low carb, under 20 carbs a day diet. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's like a piece of bread. So it's just been meat and vegetables. But I've been working hard at it, and I've lost some weight. And so whenever we have these goals, we work hard at them, right? I mean, we work hard to reach our goals. Well, A.W. Tozer wrote a book called The Pursuit of God, and he said that we should follow hard after Jesus. We should go hard after Jesus. Just like we go hard after these goals in our lives, we should go hard after Jesus. Here's what he said. He says, "How tragic that we in this dark day have had our seeking done for us by our teachers. Everything is made to center upon the initial act of accepting Christ. We're not expected thereafter to crave any further revelation of God to our souls. We have been snared in the coils of spurious logic." Quick pause. We don't talk like that anymore. I mean, that is just, we have been snared in the coils of spurious logic. False logic, which insists that if we have found him, we need no more seek him. What Tozer says in this book is that a lot of times we say that the goal is finding Jesus. We're baptized, we're good, we've reached the goal. But what Tozer would say, and what I say this morning, and what Paul says is, that's not the goal. That's the start of the race. The goal is day after day, waking up and making Jesus our goal, being more and more like Jesus. Each day, focusing more on him. So this morning, we're going to look at Philippians 3, and we're going to talk about, first, why Jesus should be our goal, and secondly, five quick things on how that can happen. So first, why must we keep Jesus as our goal? Why do we go hard after Jesus? Why do we work so hard at being like Jesus? First, in order to know him. We make Jesus our goal because we want to know him more. Verses 7 and 8 of Philippians chapter 3. "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ." Paul says that I seek after him. He is my goal because I want to know him. Everything else is rubbish. For Paul, Christ is the focus. Everything else in life is unimportant. Knowing Jesus is what's important for Paul. And why? Why is that so important for Paul? Because he says that Christ is a value that is way above everything else. So if we focus on Jesus, we make Jesus our goal because not to means that we don't want to know Jesus. Let me say that again. We focus on Jesus because if we don't, that means we don't really want to know him. I mean, we spend time and energy and money on things we love and we want to know, right? Most of you know who my favorite worship leader is.
Chris Tomlin.
It's close to Chris Tomlin. Foul speaker. No, Chris Tomlin's pretty good. David Crowder, my favorite worship leader. We were talking before service, and almost every week I have a Crowder song because I love Crowder. I love what he writes. This is a picture of the last concert I went to. With Crowder. We went after he sang. This was at Winter Jam, and we kind of skipped the next band so that we could go backstage and talk to Crowder. Actually, one of the times I saw Crowder, it was with, I think, Tomlin, and we just totally skipped Tomlin so that we could hang out and talk to Crowder afterwards. I love Crowder. I love what he says. So I spend time and energy. I've been to 38 concerts. I've driven thousands of miles. I've spent probably thousands of dollars because I want to know Crowder. Whenever a new song comes out, I download it. Two came out in the last couple weeks. If you haven't gotten them, go get them. Good stuff. I love him. I want to know him. I want to spend time with him. So I wait after concerts, sometimes for hours, so I can talk to Crowder. Just to say, hey Dave, what's going on? Because I want to know him. I do that. And we do the same thing with anything we love. For me, it's Crowder. For you, maybe it's an author. Or maybe it's a spouse. or a child, or a friend, or maybe it's Pokemon. Mm-hmm. About 3/4 of you giggled because you know exactly what I'm talking about. This was on Facebook this week. Love it. We all need to chase Jesus like we chase Pokemon, but that's none of my business. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Pokemon is a new game that's out, and you go around, you walk around, maybe you drive on the way to church, and you make your wife stop so you can collect Pokemon, and then you have Pokemon battles. That's it. And I am sad to say that I am a level 8 Pokemon master. Tim, what are you?
9.
Oh. Hey. Level 9. So that's what I'm about. Like, and I'm going to confess something to you right now. I spent at least an hour every day this week chasing Pokemon. That is a confession.
While you're running.
Sometimes while I was running. Yes, three times while I was running. One time we were out with a walk with Rachel, and so like a Pokemon pops up, and I said, go on ahead, and I'm collecting Pokemon, and then having to run. Yes, Pokemon. Why are we doing this? Because we want to be good at it. We desire to be Pokemon masters. That's silly. But we all have one of those things, right? We all have something that takes our time and energy, and it's maybe a little bit pointless. But we spend our time and energy because that's our goal. That's our focus. Jesus should be that for us. Second way to keep Jesus as our goal, the second way to go hard after Jesus is because we're so imperfect. And I put we because I just assume that you're like me. Scripture says it, and just based on me knowing you guys, we're pretty imperfect. Here's what Paul says in verse 12. Paul, the author of about half of the New Testament, says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. He says, I'm not perfect. I haven't obtained my goal of Jesus. Paul says, I'm imperfect. So we keep Jesus our goal because we are deficient. I go to the optometrist because I can't see. I need glasses. When I'm sick, I go to the doctor and I get an antibiotic because I need help. We keep Jesus our goal because we're imperfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not even close. I spent 10-ish hours this week on Pokemon. It's pretty imperfect. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you I'm imperfect. I expected an amen there, but just a head nod, thanks. You can ask my friends and family. You can ask my kids. I'm not perfect. I struggle a lot. I do things and say things and think things that are not of Jesus. And because of that, because of my imperfection, I keep him at my goal because I am so in need of a good goal, a perfect goal. My target in this life is Jesus. And as an imperfect person, he is what I'm looking for. And each day, my hope is that I just become a little bit more like him. It's like whenever I'm running and I get tired, I just want to get to the mailbox. Look, Jesus to me is like this Olympic runner, and I'm never going to be an Olympic runner. But I can be a little bit more like Jesus if I make it to that goal of being more patient this week. I can be more like Jesus if I study his word and I memorize the scripture. I can be more like Jesus if I'm patient with my kids. If I'm more loving to those who are unlovely. So we keep Jesus our goal because we're imperfect. Third reason to make Jesus our goal is because he has taken hold of us. The last reason is because Jesus loves us so much that he has already died for us so that we can be with him. Again, verse 12. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I go towards Jesus. I go hard after Jesus because he has taken hold of me on the cross. You see, we're not done once we know Jesus, once we're baptized. That's not the goal. That's the start. Jesus has taken hold of us, and now, because he's taken hold of us, we get a little taste, we get a little glimpse, and it's like, okay, I need more of Jesus. As we study and we learn more about Him, as we grow more like Him, we want more and more because He has taken hold of us. Paul, when he came to know Jesus in Acts chapter 9, Paul didn't just say, "Yes, I'm a Christian now. Life is good." No, he went out and he became passionate about Jesus. And we should be too. Now, the best commentary on chapter 3, verse 12 is actually one chapter back. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians 2, verse 12. And I'm going to start at the end of that verse. "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." See, Paul says, once you're saved, once you've found salvation, once you've come to know Jesus, once you accept that He has taken hold of you, now keep working it out. Keep growing in Him. Take a step closer to Him every day. Sadly, for me, there are days where I don't step closer to Jesus. And I think that probably some of you are in that boat too. You don't step closer to Jesus because you have all these other things that we focus on, these other goals. Well, my hope is that even though I'm imperfect, that because of Jesus' love and that He's taken hold, that more days than not, I move closer to Him. Now, some of you this morning haven't let Jesus take hold of you. The honest truth is that there are some here this morning who've never accepted and followed Jesus. So this verse is kind of hard for you because you haven't let Jesus come in and take hold of you. But I want you to know that He wants, He desires, He is pursuing you so that He can take hold of you. Here's what John chapter 10, verse 10. This is going to be up on the screen. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep." You see, Jesus loves you. He pursues you. He pursues me. And when we accept Him, He takes hold of us. And because He takes hold of us, we want to be more like Him. Because He laid down His life for us, we want to be more like Him. So, why should Jesus be our goal? First, to know Him. Second, because we're imperfect. And third, because He's taken hold of us. Now, real quickly, how do we do this? How do we make Jesus our goal? How do we, day after day, wake up and say, "Okay, I just need to be a little bit more like Jesus"? Five quick ways. First, be dissatisfied. Be dissatisfied with who you are in your spiritual walk. Paul was, verse 13 of chapter 3. "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." Paul says, "I haven't reached my goal." And whenever I look at Jesus and I compare my life and Jesus' life, I'm dissatisfied. I haven't taken hold of it. I haven't reached my goal. So I'm going to try and work on getting better. Whenever we hold our lives up to Scripture and up to Jesus' life, we're dissatisfied. And we come face to face with this perfect, amazing, loving God. So we recognize that and we say, "Yep, I'm imperfect." We call that confession. We confess and say, "Yep, I need help. I'm not perfect." We agree that we're imperfect, and so we try and daily hold ourselves up and look in the mirror and say, "Okay, how was I compared to Jesus today?" We admit that we're not perfect. Second way to focus on Jesus is to forget the things which lie behind. Again, verse 13. He says, "I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind." Paul says, "I forget the things in the past." Now, that doesn't mean we never look back. We never kind of remember our history and our lives. But I think what Paul's saying here is that we don't look back and let those things of the past drag us down. We don't just keep going back to those losses in our lives and the failures and saying, "Yep, I'm a mess up. I'm terrible." No, Paul says, forget those things. Why? So that we can strain for what's ahead. On Facebook this week, my sister posted this, says, "Even though there are days I wish I could change some things that happened in the past, There's a reason a rearview mirror is so small and the windshield is so big. Where you're headed is much more important than what you've left behind. Forget the things of the past. Celebrate the successes. Humbly thank God for those. Confess those things where you've messed up, and then move on, which is the third point. Strain forward for what lies ahead. Again, verse 13, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what is ahead. We follow hard after Jesus because we focus on what's ahead. We don't keep looking in the past. We strain forward. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Well, I do not run aimlessly. I don't box as one beating the air, but I pummel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. As I've said this morning, we should go hard after Jesus. We should make him our goal and our focus, and we should work hard on it. That's what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians, that he has this goal and he works on it. Paul didn't run aimlessly or beat the air. He didn't just go out there and work. If you've ever been on a sports team or tried out for a sports team, you don't just go to practice and, you know, just get some basketballs and shoot around. No, the coach has goals and practice, focus. Same thing should be true for us. Earlier this morning, we sang a song with everything. And what the song says is, with everything, I'm going to shout my praise to Jesus. And I know that for some of you, that was a difficult song. Especially when we started doing the loud, screamy thing. Right? I mean, that's hard. Because it's tough to give everything to Jesus. To give our hearts and our voices. To let go and to just scream for Jesus. You know when it's not hard? When our favorite sports team hits the winning basket. Or when they score the winning touchdown. Or when Tom Brady gets finally what he deserves. That's sad that that's the biggest. See? But, I mean, that's how we feel, right? It's like we have this emotion and, yes! And that's how we should be with Jesus. So, we strain forward. We keep pushing on with everything we have, even when it's uncomfortable. Fourth, way to focus on Jesus. Don't quit. Don't quit. Chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which I'm straining for. I press on. I'm not quitting. Yeah, I'm a minute into my run, and I want to turn around and go home, but I'm going to press on. Yeah, this week I spent too much time with Pokemon and not enough time with Jesus, but I'm going to press on. I'm not quitting. I'm not throwing in the towel. I press on. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord. Press on. Stand firm. Don't quit. Lastly, find someone to model after. Chapter 3, verse 17. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Paul said, hey, some people have noticed that if they follow me, then they're in good shape. So find someone to model after, someone that you can pattern your life after, and follow them. So those are just five quick ways that you can make Jesus your goal. Pick one of them and work hard at it. Once you've mastered that, then move on to the next one. Make Jesus your goal. Because struggles come. In the movie The Revenant that we watched this week, there's a great line. I love it. The main character's wife says this. When there's a storm and you stand in front of a tree, if you look at the branches, you swear it will fall. But if you watch the trunk, you'll see its stability. When the storms of life come, and they will come, we don't look at the branches. We don't look at all the things of life that are blowing around and make it seem like everything's going to come crashing in on us. Instead, we look at the trunk. We focus on something, and that something should be Jesus. Because he's not moving. He is our focal point. He's our true north. And when those storms come, if we focus on Jesus, then He becomes our stability. Would you pray with me? God, thanks that You are our stability, that You sent Jesus to die for us, that You sent Jesus to live a perfect life and to be an example for us because we are imperfect. God, this morning I pray that You speak, that You continue to use Philippians in our lives this week as we go home, as we go to lunch, that this conversation can continue because, God, we need to be more like Jesus. I need to be more like Jesus. Help us as a church to be Jesus, to love the unlovely, to give grace and hope. Because, God, there's storms all over the world. There's storms in our community, and we need to be able to point people to Jesus, our stability. We pray it in His name. Amen.